Grace be yours, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The second sermon in our series on the seven churches in Asia Minor from Revelation. The text is Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, you maybe heard someone say, consider the source. Consider the source is important when you try to weigh what someone says about you or says to you. If you know that someone to be a liar, if you know that someone to be a person who uses words like punches to bruise you, then there's a pretty good chance that you can ignore them. It's a pretty good chance that you don't really have to take to heart what they're saying to you or about you. If, on the other hand, you know that person to always be truthful, if you know that person who uses words as ways to edify you, to build you up and strengthen your spirit, then by all means, turn your ear to them and listen. Take to heart what they have to say to you or about you. This was the situation for the believers in the little town of Smyrna, about 35 miles northwest of Ephesus. It's a city today in Turkey called Izmir and has about 3 million inhabitants. At that time, the believers in Smyrna heard people saying all kinds of slanderous things about them. They were doing all kinds of things to hurt them, to make them doubt their faith in Christ. And so Jesus told John, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, things that are the truth, things that will build up those Christians, things that they should hear and take to heart. And those two things are this, that there is no need to be afraid of the wicked, and that there is no second death for all those who remain faithful. As we talked about last Sunday, the opening words of the letter identify the writer. Last week we heard God describe Himself as the omnipotent and ever-present Lord. Today, God, Jesus, describes Himself as the one who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. The author of the letter to Smyrna is the eternal God, the God who is first, who existed before anything was made, and whose eternity will last forever and ever. An eternity that He also grants to us, not as an attribute of our nature, but as a blessing of our redemption. The author of this letter is not some dead Savior, who then wouldn't be a Savior. He is the living Savior. He is the one who has died, but is no longer dead, who rose from the death, from death and from the grave, as victor over all of our enemies. This is very similar also to when Jesus describes himself earlier in Revelation as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Those two letters are, of course, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet and familiar Christian symbols. The writer is the one who should be listened to because he is the true God. He is the eternal God. He is the resurrected Christ. They were to consider the source of what he was telling them in opposition to the lies and the slander that they were hearing from the Jews, from those who said they were Jews but are not, who were living in Smyrna. We know that the believers in Smyrna were poor. It might have been because they just were poor people in general. It might have been because their enemies had taken all their property away from them because of their confession of Christ. I'll suggest most likely that both of those things had something to do with it. But the Smyrna Christians were living in poverty, they were living under persecution, and they were being slandered by those who said they were Jews, but are not. And those people are Jews by blood, but not Jews by faith. Real Jews, true Jews, are all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. We are the spiritual children of our father Abraham, who took God at His word and trusted in His promise that was to come, and we trust in that promise who was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these who claimed to be Jews but were not were saying all kinds of slanderous things about the Christians, that they weren't really the children of God. They weren't really Jews. That you can't go to heaven by faith in Christ. You have to go there by your works. Jesus told John, to the church of Smyrna, write the words of He who is the true God. Tell them the truth about themselves, about them. Tell them the truth of their situation. And so He says, even in your afflictions and their poverty, write to them, yet you are rich. See how they had to consider the source? If they looked around them and listened to those lying to them, they would have one trust and one thought about their life. But if they listened to God, if they listened to the risen and living Christ who spoke to them in that letter, then they would know who to believe. Then they would have the power to believe God's word. And even though everything looked to the contrary, when God said, yet you are rich, they would say, yes, we are. We are very rich, even though we have nothing on this earth. Because we have God's love. We have the risen Christ. We have all spiritual blessings that God gives us through Christ. Even though there is nothing that we want or can claim in the earthly kingdom, in the kingdom of God, we are rich. And so we don't have to believe our eyes. We don't have to believe what people say in our ears. But rather, we believe what God says, what God tells us in His Word. Jesus calls these false Jews a synagogue of Satan. Because, you know, the word devil means slanderer. The devil was slandering Christ and was slandering these believers by trying to convince them that they wouldn't go to heaven, that they wouldn't live by their faith. And so Jesus calls these Jews by blood, but not Christians by faith, really a synagogue of Satan. Because they were saying that Christ is not the Messiah, that Christ is not the only way to heaven. These Christians in Smyrna were going to suffer. Jesus said that Satan was going to put some of them in prison to test their faith. But he told them, "But yet you're still rich. Consider the source. Listen to me. Listen to me, your Savior, when I tell you that that is the case." And then he said, "And I'll tell you what, this suffering, this imprisonment, this poverty is only going to last for 10 days. The numbers in the book of Revelation are symbolic. And so we don't understand that number 10 as being literal. But what was Jesus telling them? 10 days is a certain amount of time, and 10 days is a short time compared to eternity. So Jesus was saying in his letter, you're going to suffer, you're going to be poor, you're going to be slandered, but there's really nothing to fear from the wicked because you're rich and these difficulties are only going to last a short time and a definite time that I have already determined that will only be for your good. It won't go on beyond your good. It won't go beyond what I want it to go beyond for you. In all of that, the Christians in Smyrna had nothing to fear. Jesus commended them for their faithfulness. This letter to Smyrna is one of the only two of the seven letters that does not have a criticism. One commentator I liked it, he said, I don't think Jesus wanted to rub salt in their wounds. No, that's kind of a good way to put it, good way to look at it. They were suffering and they were being patient, and so Jesus commended them for that and promised them that they would one day soon be delivered. The promise for them was final victory in Christ, where they would receive a crown. And that crown is the laurel wreath that they would put on someone who won a contest or a race in the winner's circle. And so Jesus said, your reward, my promise, is that one day you will receive that crown of life. Because for those who endure, there is no second death. We find some additional insight into the meaning of the second death by looking ahead in the Revelation. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, we read, "The lake of fire is the second death." Second death is eternal death in hell. It is eternal damnation in hell. Jesus, in his letter, promised them and us that for all who remain faithful to Christ, there will be no second death. There will be no eternal damnation in hell. There'll be no eternal separation from God. We all, of course, must go through the first death, don't we? The first death is temporal death. It's the death at the end of my life that comes to me because I am a sinner. But Jesus writes through John to the believers about life. In the midst of their poverty, in the midst of their slander, they were rich in the new life that they have in Christ, even on this earth. But one day they would receive the crown of life, and they would live that life of resurrection as Jesus, who was dead, but is no longer dead, gained for them. Jesus reminded the members of the congregation in that call, "He who has an ear," that's everybody, "he who has an ear, let him hear, listen to, pay attention to what the Spirit says to the churches." Christians, Jesus was writing through John, consider the source. Don't believe your eyes that the poverty in which you're living, that that's your life. Don't believe the slander of those who say they're God's people and aren't. Because you're rich. And because you will escape the second death as you remain faithful to the Savior. In spite of that first death that we must all pass through, consider the source and listen to the Holy Spirit. When you die, you will be in heaven. When you pass through the first death, you will enter eternal life. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When someone asks you, when you die, are you going to be in heaven? Please don't say, "I hope so," or "I think so." Say, "I know so." Consider the source. It is Jesus Christ telling you and promising you that as you remain faithful to Christ, as He keeps you faithful in Christ through word and sacrament, that there will be no second death. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus doesn't use words like punches to hurt us and bruise us or our faith. Jesus is the truth, and everything He says is the truth. Jesus only uses words to edify us, to build us up, and to strengthen our faith. Consider the source and give ear to the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, who was dead but lives again, when He gives you the promise, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.